are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
I ride. I'm wanted, dead or just stunned.
So is that like a song that I should know? Or
Oh my God! Seriously, Jesus! Figured out we were hanging out after the movie, and a bartender there's a guy I met first year I moved here in '92, and we're talking about stuff. And I asked Carmen, I'm like, "How old were you in '92?" He's like, "One."
I said it with confidence. I was 1 year old.
He was one when we met. When we were already several years into drinking heavily.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And here I am drinking heavily.
Yeah.
With all of you.
It's funny how it comes full circle.
Finally, it was destiny.
Well,
the circle of life,
Hell and High Water. Hell or High Water is very much about that sort of endless cycle of doom.
Mm-hmm. Banks kind of fucking suck, right, guys? That's what the movie hammers home.
Dude, it's kind of the last film in the trilogy, you know, with 99 Homes and The Big Short. It's the final film in the Bank trilogy.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives you everything. You've got your just like straight up drama, you've got your sort of comedy ish, and then this is just
dark
like,
comedy, yeah.
Yeah, and then this is kind of sort of like actiony.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, this film, directed by. David McKenzie, who is known for
Sicario,
which is great.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Well, he didn't direct it, right?
He wrote Sicario, and he directed and wrote Hell or High Water. I believe is the thing.
Okay,
his last film was a movie called Starred Up,
which I hear is great.
Okay,
I've not seen
neither,
but it's a combination of a classic Western. Like, and I mean, like, every element of an old-school gray Western. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not Black Hats and White Hats, but those gray Westerns that probably started with High Noon, you know? And a very modern-day look at what's happening to the West, or in this case, Texas.
Yeah.
I was at the Q&A where Chris Pine, Ben Foster, Jeff Bridges, and the director, and everybody was there, and one of the producers, and... Before the movie started, I believe it was the producer who kind of stepped to the mic. He's like, "One more thing. We just wanted to tell you guys that this movie is our love letter to Texas. Like, nobody there is like a native. Nobody there is a native Texan, but he's just like, we love Texas, and this is like, we love this movie.
There's no question that's what's happening here.
This movie is kind of what we Northerners think of Texas, where it's all kind of tumbleweeds and it's... I mean, it's
and West Texas
poor and
is
things.
That.
So it is that. Okay, so it's true. Okay, so we were right.
It's like everything in here takes place in West Texas, and that's dead off.
All
right, right down to the scene where if you're robbing a bank and there's an old man in there, you better ask him if he has a gun.
Because he does.
But he'll be so polite about it, too, before he, like, shoots at you, which I love.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like,
I do, sir.
They're very polite, but also... curmudgeonly set in their ways.
Yeah, you're damn right I have a gun.
But like the most curmudgeonly person in this entire movie is Jeff Bridges, who...
No, it's not. It's the
Okay, true. Even he was taken aback by her. What don't you want?
A little guy, what don't you want? What do you mean? It's like, that's a motherfucker Yankee coming here. We ordered a trout. We never had trout. We got T-bones. Mm-hmm. And either you don't want corn on the cob or you don't want green beans with it.
That's a good moment. I mean, she didn't even feel...
That's
like,
totally real.
Okay, she's an actress, but it's like, I don't think even she is... She is an actress. Like, we can go to that actual diner in that small, you know, Texas town, and she will be there. It's like...
I wouldn't be surprised if they just got a waitress who, worked in a small town
the
diner.
The role of her life right
But
there.
That's the thing is, like, so much about this feels so spot-on, genuine,
authentic.
West Texas, authentic.
Yeah.
The story, which we probably should have gotten.
Oh, yeah, that part.
Follows Chris Pine as Toby and Ben Foster as Tanner. Who are two brothers who, whereas they're very different in some ways, they're definitely brothers.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
fight, but it's never that serious.
But they love each other. I love you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those type of brothers.
Yeah.
And Ben Foster has just gotten out of jail for, I think, how long did they say it was? I want to say it was 10 years.
He went to, like, juvie for 10 years, and then he went to prison for bank robbing, which was after his juvie, I think.
For some reason, the number 8 standing out in my head, so maybe it was 8 years.
Yeah, he's been in prison a long time.
Their family owned a ranch. Dad, long since gone. Mom, long, slow, painful death from probably
some
cancer.
Type of illness. Yeah, cancer.
Yeah. She's now gone. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that the bank owns liens on the property and are going to take it from them.
Yep.
And not only that, the oil was discovered on the land, and so the bank definitely does not want to let that property go.
Yeah, the bank is like, we're going to take the shit one way, whatever shady thing we can come up to do. I mean, the beginning when the loans were put on, it was at that period where they were like, we give out loans specifically designed to pay as little as possible and take people's properties from them.
Yep.
As explored in The Big Short and 99 Homes.
Again, pretty much a sequel to those movies.
But, you know, that's the whole thing. It's like, oh, shit, there's oil on this property. We need to get this back. And, these two brothers are such distinctively different characters in their motivations. I mean, Chris Pine is the guy who always was the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
But he's got kids. I mean, an ex-wife who he doesn't really get along with, but they're his kin.
Sure.
And he wants to give them something. He doesn't want them to come from, as he says at one point in the movie, like where generations have come from poverty. He wants them to start with something fresh.
Yeah, they talk about poverty as a disease, which you carry through the generations. Yeah. And it's fucking true.
Yeah. And it's evident in that part of Texas. Like, it's that poverty is a cycle that you really can't ever get out of unless there happens to be oil on your fucking property.
Whereas Ben Foster, for him, I mean, he's got two reasons. One, he loves his brother. And he just wants to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And two, he is an agent of chaos.
He's basically the Joker without the makeup and scars.
He likes chaos. He realizes he's going down hard in his life somehow, and it might as well be this way if that's how it's going to happen. Meanwhile, as they're going out and they're taking out small town banks, mind you, they're not even going the big thing. They're just taking money from the registers. So it's like, I think they said at one point,
loose bills.
$5,000-$7,000 a bank.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So I guess it's hard to track those kind of bills.
Texas Ranger, played by Jeff Bridges, and his partner, Alberto, played by Gil Birmingham, they're like, well, the FBI wants nothing to do with this because the money's too small. They're not going to come in on this, so it's up to us.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges, about to retire. Gil is half Indian, half Mexican, and their relationship is in some ways very akin to what's going on between Chris Pine and Ben Foster. Mm-hmm. They fight a lot, but ultimately there is some love there.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are going to misunderstand that relationship.
Well, they'll think, oh, Jeff Bridges is being racist, so fuck his character.
All they're going to see is the racism.
Yeah.
And that's because that's like another thing that's like very true to like Western Texas. Like it's not for lack of a better way of expressing it, it's sort of behind the times in a little bit as far as like relating to other races, you know, Mexicans, Indians, black people. Like even in South Texas, like where I'm from, like my father, my Hispanic father, as a few years ago, he still kind of didn't know that you're not supposed to say colored when referring to black people. And you have to kind of tell him, like, you can't call them colored.
It is very much a different world these people are living in, and their relationship is one of like Bridges is just the old hand who's given shit to Gil, his partner, his young partner, who's basically taking his job essentially. When he retires in like I think it's like 2 weeks or something. By you know, giving him shit about everything. At one point he says like when you get tired of all these, you know, he's giving him all these Indian jokes, making his Native American half heritage. And he's like, you know, I'm half Mexican. He's like, yeah, I'll get around to that when I'm done with all my Indian jokes.
Yeah, it's funny because like, I don't know if you, JC, you experienced this too, but the audience that Chris and I were with, they kind of bristled at first at that kind of like Jeff Bridges, like ribbing of his partner, but then eventually they kind of warmed up to it, and they're like, exactly.
I think
hopefully audiences will
did get it. My audience is a little different because my audience is mostly brimming from excitement. I happen to be at the special screening where Chris Pine, Ben Foster, Jeff Bridges.
Could see them shit face.
I'm going to touch you. Ooh, they felt good.
Yeah. I was actually telling Herman before you pulled up, like, Chris Pine is the first, like, legit, like, movie star actor I've ever been, like, in person of.
I'm Captain Kirk.
Like, if that dude was not an actor, like, he wouldn't be good at anything. Like, he's too beautiful. Yeah. Like, he's so... I don't even dislike him, but I wanted to punch him in his face.
In his pretty face. Yeah. Yeah. And he, sure enough, showed up and just got so wasted, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Throwing pizza all around the place.
Somebody in the audience bought him a pizza,
yeah.
And he threw it off the table and started kicking it, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently, I've heard that he likes...
In the theater during the Q&A.
And apparently Foster was totally drunk, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I can, like, buy Foster as, you know, some kind of schmuck that we see walking around, like, anywhere. Like, yeah. He's not, like, pretty boy, kind of like Chris Pine is.
Yeah, but Chris Pine has that whole, like, guy who was the coolest guy in his high school and was the quarterback of the football team.
Yeah.
And then he broke his leg.
Mm-hmm. And he married his, high school sweetheart, had a couple kids,
and
divorced
now he's miserable.
Yeah, yeah.
It has that feel
it's like,
to it.
Yeah, early 40s, exactly. Yeah.
Fuck him. No, watch these guys as they're like, they're robbing just enough banks to pay off, you know, the bank.
Yep.
And in fact, there's this whole circular thing inside of that where they're just kind of fucking the bank itself by, like, paying the bank back the money they're stealing from
that. Yeah,
because
the only banks they're robbing are the chain of banks that gave them the loan in the first place.
Midland, I think, is the bank. Yeah,
and so they and this part's in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler. They've hired a lawyer who they've kind of told, like, hey, we may get caught robbing these banks. This is what we're doing. And the lawyer at one point is like, paying the bank back with their own money? I don't know what's more Texan than that.
But that's like a recurring thing in the movie. Like, all these people recognize Chris Pine and Ben Foster's character. And they're like, yeah, those good country boys, you know. It's like, but that, because everyone's been screwed over by these banks, and because it's like, again, it's a cyclical thing.
There's a general theme here of, like, the system is breaking down.
Yeah.
But the movie isn't as simple as that either. There's a lot of sort of, like, country boy meta analysis of, like, this is what's always happened.
Yeah.
Like, they go through, it's like, your people stole it from my people.
Yeah.
And now these people are stealing it from your people. It's just, what do you have to be pissed off about? It's how it happened. It seems deserved, doesn't it? On some level,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And I think that ultimately the feelings here that are most dominant is about loss and about change and,
legacies, and
the old passing to the new, you know, just things dying off when it's way past time for them to die off. There's a conversation that happens at one point in a restaurant where Jeff Bridges is sitting down at a table where some people may have seen the brothers.
Yeah.
And some old good old boys are at the table there, and they start talking about how, like, that's just weird, dude. Who robs banks anymore?
Yeah.
And it kind of sets the tone for the whole thing. It's like, that's, I mean, really, it's just this act of massive desperation. Mm-hmm. Nobody robs banks anymore. Who the fuck does that?
Yeah.
It's the final gasp of the old West, you know? But at the same time, you could watch older Westerns that take place in older time, and they could say, this is about that robber baron point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. Buys up all the land, treats his, you know, the citizens like shit. Sure.
Yeah, the time when the old cowboy was being run out of town by the banks first moving in. And
the Pacific Union
system. You know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where I feel like this movie owes equally, I wouldn't say owes, but tributes equally that classic Western and then the new conceit of, like, this is what's actually happening right now, and this is real. I mean, the camera constantly is focusing on, like, cheap, like, a get out of debt.
Credit and all that garbage. Yeah.
And, like, wow, this whole way of life is just dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like people might sort of struggle with the idea of Western as a genre and, like, only think of it as, like, cowboys and Indians or, you know, sheriffs and robbers on, like, horseback and things like that. Like, the idea of the modern Western might be an idea that's sort of kind of lost on people or harder to grasp. But, like, yeah, this is a Western. And, like, what's more Western than bank robberies? Like,
no, nothing. It's it is so, in so many ways, of all the new type of Westerns that have been coming out now, trying to reinvent it, where most of those are more noir films.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a noir film. This is a Western.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I feel like it's much more true to the original genre. And I feel like, in many ways, and as much as I love noir, and I do, oh boy, my black little heart, I love it. I love the fact that this just felt more honest in some ways in those films of being mm-hmm. a Western.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt at all that there's just so much wonderful chemistry and well-written dialogue between both Chris Pine and Ben Foster and Jeff Bridges and Gil Birmingham.
Yeah.
Where it's just fun to watch both of these. It's like a double buddy cop film.
Although I will say it's like when we can understand Jeff Bridges' dialogue, because he is at his most Jeff Bridges, true grit. We're gonna get the good boy. He's wearing a ski mat, and I got a button shirt, and we're gonna die, and we're out.
He's catching bugs in his mouth the whole time. He's like, takes a sip off a shiner, makes a little his mouth open.
Doing his Nick Nolte impression.
But it's perfect.
No, it is. It works, and for the most part, you do understand.
And the very different relationship between Foster and Pine, where, like I said, Pine is very directed. He knows exactly what this is for.
He's the brains.
He's cautious about mm-hmm. not fucking this up because it's his legacy. And Foster is just like, I get it. I want to help.
Yeah.
But I have a really hard time not just wanting to, like, as you said, set the world on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And very, very funny.
I'm just a dog that chases cars. I don't even know if I got one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so many, as you said as well, so many great supporting characters.
Oh, so good.
I just give, go ahead with my final thoughts here and say, this is one of my top five films of the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is wonderful. I think that even people who don't think they like Westerns are going to take to this and really enjoy it. And it will give them a very, very real picture of what West Texas is like. Not Austin, mind you,
right,
which resembles this in no way, but Texas, mm-hmm. El Paso, what have you.
Yeah.
It's just, it's both a lot of fun, very smart, and just very kind of heartbreaking at the same time. And I don't mean in a traditional, oh, tragedy way. I mean, like, just a sense of things dying.
Yeah. I mean, the ending is definitely that kind of like, I want to just stop to think about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
It definitely kind of pounds you in the chest a little bit. I thought this was wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm calling it now. Marvel is already turning their head and going, who's this guy? We haven't really done a Jonah Hex film for in the new mix.
Yeah.
Maybe this is one of the, because this is exactly the type of direction that you go, that Marvel goes, wow, that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're really good with characters and you get great chemistry between people.
Sure.
And you work well without a lot of people looking over your shoulder.
Especially considering, like, that's kind of sort of how they approached the new Spider-Man movie they're making with the guy from Cop Car.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is almost totally that same exact sort of scenario. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Written by Taylor Sheridan, by the way, who has...
The writer. He's the one who said the love letter to Texas.
Yes. Who is best known for writing... For being playing the role of David Hale on Sons of Anarchy. But he wrote Sicario.
Yeah.
Okay. Still, I mean, great script, by the way.
Yeah, great script.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you in your thoughts there, but did you say Jonah Hex with Marvel? Because Jonah Hex is a DC character.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I just want to save you before
their shit. If DC had their shit together, they would get this guy.
I just want to save you from the comments. That's all.
You're right.
That should be the Marvel DC battle. Who can get this guy to? Well, Marvel doesn't really need to fix anything.
Yeah.
DC can get this.
But
guy
DC
to fix
won't
some
be
shit.
Smart enough to do it.
Yeah, no.
Right. And even if they did, he would be overwhelmed by producers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But hopefully Marvel
would let him do his own thing.
Smaller film or a Netflix show. I think that'd be great.
A Netflix show. Exactly.
I think that's more of his kind of wheelhouse.
I loved this. Yeah. I actually, like I said, one of my top five of the year. I give this 10 out of 10. A weary cowboy gazes into the endless expanse. Did you see?
This is probably about the time of the year I kind of start thinking about what might make my top 10. And this has a good chance of making it. I haven't fully really thought about it, but this is the kind of movie that, you know, you kind of look at everything you've seen throughout the year. You sort of give, seen you've given, you know, sevens and eights to, and you start penciling down, like, you start thinking about what's sticking with you the most. And like, I saw this one like 2 weeks before these guys did, and it still kind of stuck with me. So well made, so well acted. I remember a lot, a good deal. I remember almost everything about the movie after having seen it 2 weeks ago. It's just fantastic all around. I'm someone who's really late in life was sort of like eased into the Western genre because I, for whatever reason, it wasn't really my cup of tea as a kid. But as an adult, I'm appreciating it more and more.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. And so this is definitely a good way to sort of like, you know, dip your toe in the Western water, especially like modern wise. I mean, very little, if anything, to say is wrong with this. I would give it 8.5 out of 10 cheesy diners.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, those Chris,
Christopher Herman.
Yes.
What did you think?
You know, I was talking to JC outside.
Like, I think that's good enough.
And, all right, folks, see you later. I was talking to JC outside, and I was saying that, you know, in the parallel universe, Ben Foster is like the biggest movie star in the world. He's one of the most talented actors ever. And it's like this kind of film just proves why. He is so good. And yeah, for every...
If he's in anything, it's worth at least paying.
I mean, even in...
Yeah, that's kind of what he and I were talking about. It's like, is he's either had a run of bad luck as to why he's not a bigger star, or he's, like, extremely choosy into, like, what he does.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, he's like, oh, he's going to be Angel in the X-Men franchise. Oh, it happens to be X-Men The Last Stand.
Yeah.
Oh, he happens to be in Universal's big, you know, new blockbuster franchise that they're going to start. Oh, it happens to be Warcraft. And even in that movie, it was okay. I mean, he was good in it. But yeah, I mean, here he's firing on all cylinders. Chris Pine is great. Jeff Bridges is amazing. His co-star, Gil Birmingham, which, by the way, I mean, he's kind of played the Native American in every single, like, Native American, like, show.
He may be the best actor who has got Native American in his blood.
Exactly.
Who plays Native Americans.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, he's great here, and his relationship with Jeff Bridges is awesome. And hopefully people will look past initially the kind of, I hate to say, but, like, kind of, like, the overt racism that, or just the kind of the racist remarks that Jeff Bridges gives him. But again, it's like a brother relationship where they just talk shit about each other. And at first they'll bristle to it, but as the movie gets going, you'll understand, like, we're just fucking.
It's a realistic portrait of West Texas once again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And even from someone who's not from West Texas, from the North, but I'm not either,
but that's like, there's a lot of guys who, like, talk racist shit all the time or just as un-PC as possible who don't mean anything by it.
It's just
kind
of...
come from a world where that's just how it goes.
Yeah, because along the generations, it's part of the vernacular.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this movie is so well-paced. And the other thing is, like, I thought they could have went for that really schmaltzy ending and where it's like everyone kind of gets what they want. And they kind of don't do that. And, like, the kind of that last conversation between two characters in the film I thought was... for me, probably my favorite part of the movie, because you don't really know how it's going to go down. And I really like that and how there's a bit of a mystery to that. So, yeah, I think for now, I don't know if it's my top 5 favorite movies of the year, like right now, because, again, we're going to hopefully go into the fall season, see some good films. But, I mean, in August, I mean, this was such a big surprise, especially after Suicide Squad, which is a piece of shit. So,
he's never going to get tired.
I'm not going to get tired of that.
I mean, even sitting in the bar afterwards, he's just like, somebody just ordered a ticket for Suicide Squad. Can I punch them?
Yeah. Oh, if I said that, I kind of grimaced and rolled my eyes. But this was a huge surprise, and I'm so glad I saw this. So, yeah, for right now, I'd probably give it – maybe it's in my top 10 right now. But as a rating, I give it 9 out of 10 gray hats.
Out of curiosity, what do you – right off the bat, you go, top 5 of the year, what comes out? I know it's off topic.
I mean, right now, I mean, 10 Cloverfield Lane, I love that movie so much. After that, probably Sing Street. Zootopia.
You had me on the first two, but you lost me.
I know. I love Zootopia, man. I know you and JC were fans of him, not like the biggest fans.
I don't know how you felt. I don't remember.
You were okay with it.
I didn't dislike it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it wouldn't have approached my top 10.
But I had to just sit down and look. Midnight Special.
Yeah.
That came out this year, right?
Yeah.
And Green Room.
Okay.
Yeah, Green Room, probably Midnight Special. Yeah. Deadpool's getting a lot of mileage.
Deadpool's like number 6 for me.
So good.
Yeah.
it's still early in the year, so I mean, like, yeah. Like Civil War is kind of in there just because I saw it a lot, and I mean,
it's like number
really,
10 right
didn't
now
really do anything, yeah. You know, wrong. Yeah, it's off the top of my head. Top five is probably hard to bank right now, just off the top of my head.
Well,
yeah,
Batman v Superman, right? Batman v Superman.
I like it. But I'm
just giving you shit. I know. How about you?
What you guys said, but plus Swiss Army Man and...
Which I had not seen.
Yeah, Swiss Army Man would probably
Hunt for the Wilder
there.
People
yeah, yeah.
as well.
Yeah, that probably my bottom five right now, Wilder People. Yeah. That's like an 8 or 9, I think, at this point.
But so far, we're like finding a year where it's shocking how much of the really great stuff...
Smaller films.
...came out of left field.
Yeah.
You know, little indie films, Deadpool, which even the studio didn't expect to perform.
They had no faith in it. And that's where they're like, do whatever the fuck you want. We don't care. It's $30 million.
This one, a little tiny Western, you know, that I'm sure was an afterthought for everyone involved but the director.
What was the budget on this? It must have been super low, I imagine.
I don't see the budget.
They didn't even list it. So it's a low budget.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
It's filmed in West Texas where everything is free.
There you go.
Except Lone Star. And that costs
nice
like
tax incentives.
$72
All
the Shiner in the movie is probably free.
Oh, I know. Probably. I love that. That's my other favorite performance is the Shiner Bach.
massive awards for Shiner Bach as his thing imbibed by the characters.
See, most people would scoff at that, but it's like, I mean, that just makes sense. Everyone drinks Shiner Bach here, especially.
Or Lone Star.
Which co-stars in the film.
Yeah. It's like not an IPA or Hefeweizen in sight.
No.
Clearly not filmed in Austin.
No, definitely not.